introducing myself. Good morning, everyone. Lori, nice to see you. It's nice to be known that you can hear me. I want to just read a truism. And I'm in John chapter 3. And it's Jesus being with Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, but no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And hear this educated Jew, the chief of the teachers, realizes that only someone from God could do the miracles Jesus did. And that's picked up in our readings in John, which we're going to go to. But before we do that, I just want us to think about the miracles that are recorded in the Gospels. How many there are, and how different they are. And as disciples, how would we deal if there was just one or two miracles recorded, whatever they were, and people would then say to us, "Well, did that happen? Could that have happened?" But we have miracle upon miracle upon miracle, where we just go, "Wow." And do the miracles impact how great he is? One of the things I've challenged myself over the last 3 years is, how do I read scripture? Do I read scripture with old eyes or young eyes? That has nothing to do with age, but everything to do with perception. You see, old eyes, we're looking at events a long time ago. And what relevance are those events in the 21st century, in my life, in your life? How relevant are they? Or do we read that we're part of the narrative, that we are there, and they are relevant? And this night, challenge myself with this. I was listening to the radio a few years ago in the car, and they were talking about an author. It was their book review. And I'm not a reader of books, but they were saying this author makes the narrative live. That when they read the story, they are part of it. And I said to myself, does the Word of God do that with me? Am I in the moment that I'm reading? Or is it something I've read so often? It doesn't impact. And that's my challenge. And here we are, and I'm now in John chapter 9. To an event we know well. This man who was blind. We pick up verse 1. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. This man is blind from birth. Most beggars have a patch they work at. It's where they're comfortable, they take their seats, and that's where they stay. Now, for someone who's blind, it's even more likely that he's going to stay in that area where he's familiar. If he's born blind from birth, would the Lord then not walk past him at some point? do we think this is the first time Jesus is in this part of town? And the answer is, of course not. He would have walked past him and noticed him. But only at this time does he respond. So when the disciples say, the disciples ask him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The Lord doesn't change the concept and go into great debate. Well, this seems not like that, this, that, and the other, as we would have done. Let's get the fundamentals right, is our perception. His answer was so straightforward. Neither this man nor his parents have sinned, but the work of God should be revealed in him. I must work the work of him who sent me. This was now the time for this man to be healed. What a challenge for us when we pray, when we ask God to do things for us. I want them done yesterday. I forget that God works in God time, not rain time. And this man had to wait for the right time to be healed. And do we have the patience this man had? That this is now the right time for him to be healed. Then we know what happens. Verse 6. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. And we'll just stop there, because there's so much going on here. First of all, Jesus didn't just heal him then there. He's healed other blind people in the Gospels that they saw instantly. For this one, there's a difference. He's put stuff on his eyes. And then he tells you to do something. Go and wash. You didn't just say go and wash perhaps to the nearest bowl he could get to. So someone says, here's a bowl of water, wash. He's told to go. And this is what surprised me. I looked at that Bible map. The temple is at the north of Jerusalem. The pool of Siloam is at the south. I don't know the distance in terms of miles, but it's not the nearest place for water. And when I mentioned this in a Bible class, someone said to me in discussion, they'd been to the pool of Siloam on a trip, and you've got to climb steps to get into the water. Now, if you're blind, steps are the worst things you want to come in contact with. Equally, if his area of begging and staying were just outside the temple, he is not likely to have been walking around Jerusalem. But he does. He doesn't say, Lord, why? In faith, he does what the Lord tells him. Reminds me of the statement yesterday, when Mary said, whatever he says, do. And here is a man who knows nothing about Jesus, totally responding to his word. Is that you and I? get older, we don't doubt, but we might question, well, do you mean that, Lord? Are you sure that's right? And our human experience questions the authority. Well, this man totally accepts the authority of this man. But do you notice we're not told who took him? He could not have gone by himself. He was blind. And he just says he went, washed, saw. Was it the disciples? Did Jesus say to some of them, take him? Did some of his friends say, I'll go with him? We are not told. So what a powerful lesson for us in terms of, do we help those who struggle? Whether it be emotionally, spiritually, physically. You know, are we their carers? Or do we leave that to someone else? Because someone had to take him to the pool. And then he sees. And he comes back. Interesting why he came back there. Was it because he was somewhere safe? He knew voices. He knew people. Was it he came back there to see Jesus? We do not know. But in that statement, he went, washed, saw, we see so much faith and obedience that I ask myself, for someone who claims to be able to see, do I respond so willingly? But there's more to go on from this. So carry on. Now, verse 8. Therefore, his neighbors and those who previously had seen him that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore, he said to him, how were your eyes opened? And now he is being asked, what happened? And to this man's credit, every time he's asked what happened, he's totally honest. Doesn't add bits, doesn't make things up to make the story more effective and powerful. He says this, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed and received sight. Exactly what happened. And when asked, where is he? I don't know. And then the Pharisees get involved. And he says the same thing to them. But here's the challenge for us. The Pharisees couldn't accept he healed. They couldn't accept he healed on the Sabbath. Now, I have to be honest, there are parts of Scripture I struggle to understand. And yes, we've got books on every subject under the sun in the office. And I still have to say, there are parts of Scripture I do not understand. That doesn't make me believe less. It just makes me accept there are things I'll never understand. And how powerful it is this man, who is uneducated, cannot see, but perceive one of the great truths of discipleship. And that was this. And I know it's verse 24. So again they called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. That's a bit of a strange statement to make. Give God the glory. What were you getting at? What was the statement we were trying to get at? And what they were saying was, he can heed the treasured possessions. And when challenged by Joshua, Joshua said, give God the glory. Tell me the truth. And they were saying to this man here, give God the glory. Tell us the truth. And what's the answer to that? Jesus, heal me. And they were saying, it didn't happen. He was saying it did. Verse 27, he answered them, I have told you already, and you do not listen. Why do you not want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? They reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are most disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he has opened my eyes. And we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it's been unheard of that anyone opens the eyes of one of his blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. He is endorsing what Nicodemus said. But this man has something we don't have. And that's the actual experience of being healed. We might talk about spiritual healing, but this man can say, at one time in my life I was blind, now I see. It happened. And we, through the eye of faith, believe that. And the parts of scripture I don't understand doesn't worry me to the great deal. Yes, I want to learn, but I accept totally in the miracles of Jesus. I accept that totally his greatness because of that. And when I get the parts that I don't understand this, that doesn't put me off the bigger picture. And what I want to stick a finger about in terms of these miracles are here not just only to tell us about who the Son is. These miracles are here to enhance our faith. We worship and serve a Son who can do great things. We might not understand them, but we accept he does them. What do we have in John chapter 10? We have the Lord saying, even if we go still understand who I am and what I am. Accept the things I have done and ask yourself the same question. And the same question is exactly the same for us. If we believe in the miracles we've read in the Gospels, do we believe where the miracles come from? God. And that enhances my faith in him and his son. And what relevance does that have? And you know, John chapter 11, another sign, the resurrection. Because we might look at the miracles of the Lord and go, yeah, you're right, Wayne, but what relevance is that to my life today? And the resurrection is the greatest relevance we all have individually, don't we? Because if he wasn't raised, if Nicodemus wasn't raised, will we be raised? Will those we love be raised? And you can't get more relevant and more personal than that for us as individuals. Resurrection. And if the Lord could do so many things, but he can't raise the dead, what relevance is that to our discipleship? If that one miracle was just a step too far, but he can't he? So we are worshipping and serving someone who's all powerful. And each miracle, whatever it is, it's just a reminder of that great power. And then the symbolism of this miracle kicks in, whether we see it or not. And I was saying to a brother yesterday, when I read the Gospels, whatever Gospel I read, I'm in awe of the Lord, his greatness. And I cannot describe that greatness. There's always an add-on. And even Malcolm, who loves talking, can't add on when he talks about the greatness of the Lord. There's always something more to be said. And then we know people, might be family members, who've read the same Gospels we've read. And this man means nothing. Yes, it might have happened, they say. And it's all very interesting, they say. But that defining, wow. Look what this man can do. They can't see. I can't get my head around that. But they can look at the same incident we're looking at and go, yes. And it's exactly what's happening here in chapter 9, isn't it? Instead of looking and thinking, I don't know what's going on, well, that bloke I've walked past for years can now see. How did that happen? And for his parents, who must have loved him and longed for him to be like other children, other people have sight. When he saw them and they could see, he could see, still couldn't see the miracle and where it came from. And brothers and sisters, as we break bread and drink wine now, we are that man, aren't we? We were born in darkness. but he's touched our hearts, our minds, our eyes, that we can see him and his Father. And in seeing him, we can see the resurrection. We can see his great power. Do we value it? Do we appreciate it? Do we marvel when we read about him? And they're all things that challenge me. And sometimes, in my dark moments, am I closer to the scribes and Pharisees in doubting because I don't understand? Or should I be, I accept, I don't understand. But just as that man walked in faith, you and I are doing exactly the same. We're walking in faith. And just as he had help, whether it was the disciples or friends and neighbors, we've still got help. Let's thank God for it. And if I was at your hall, I'd now sit down. They've already sat down, so I've got to say, I've finished.